set and ready to play in more ways than one. Welcome in, welcome back in to Beyond Ringside, Back to Basics, actually a hybrid episode. Fast Eddie Lane from Studio One, welcoming in tag team partner on the Saturday Showcase, Shane Knowles. My brother, how you doing today?
Doing well. Everything is just peachy here in the Peach State.
Looking forward to this Saturday, looking forward to having a lot of fun. And speaking of this Saturday, it has been described in so many ways, and I am so greatly looking forward to it. November 7th at Central Elementary School. I would dare say, we'll use the phrase that has been coined, hashtag Jim Cornette Experience. Louisville Lip, the gentleman himself, hashtag Tennis Racket on a Steak, Combination Pro Wrestling and Jeff Dunham. Like to welcome in, good friend of the family, and the man who will be part of the main event and more this coming Saturday, Jim Cornette. Mr. Cornette, how's your day going?
Eddie, I got to be honest with you. When you say Louisville Lip, just with the something about the accent you put on it, the excitement and quivering in your voice, it sounds completely wrong. Whenever you refer to me as the Louisville Lip, let's stick to the Jim Cornette Experience from you.
Okie dokie.
Because it just has some negative connotations, man. And we're staying positive this weekend for Carrollton, Georgia, Peach State Wrestling. You realize this is going to be the last time that I am in the Atlanta, North Georgia area until at least next spring, to be quite honest with you, because I hibernate in the wintertime now that I'm old. Instead of going to Florida and, you know, like for the winter, I just stay in the house. But I'm looking forward to it, and also a couple of my old, long, close personal friends are some of the movers and shakers in the Peach State Wrestling line. Shane Knowles knows more about that, but we'll keep that between the attorneys. So I'm looking forward to coming. It's part of the settlement. Nobody's going to prison over this thing, but I will be there. I'm really looking forward to coming because I've heard so many good things about Peach State Wrestling. And I've heard so many bad things about this. Al Getz. Al Getz don't get it, unfortunately. I know that Tyson Dean has been having some problems. We'll talk more about that on the show if you'd like, if you want to question me about it.
Oh, yeah.
But also... I'm looking forward to coming and having the live Jim Cornette Experience question and answer before the wrestling event, where some of my most ardent followers in the cult of Cornette, you know, they listen to my podcast, you know, the March to a Million. We are coming up on 1 million downloads for the Jim Cornette Experience weekly podcast on MLWRadio.com in the year 2015. It just passed our 100th show, but in 2015 we've had like 950 something thousand. I can't keep track of it. It's like a slot machine at Vegas, folks. The live experience where the fans get to ask me questions and then I give them answers. Sometimes the answers I give them even pertain to the questions they asked, and that takes place before the event. There's an extra ticket or there's a super ticket. You can just get everything. Come spend the day. Bring the kids, bring the midgets. The kids are wrestling tonight. It's going to be fun for the whole family in Carrollton. Now, you have a question you'd like to ask? I feel like I'm rambling at this point.
Oh, no, that's perfectly fine. Welcome to Beyond Ringside. We do that all the time. Now, I've got the loaded question. Actually, I got three in particular. Number one, if I promise not to ask the question today, but reserve the right to ask it maybe on Saturday, what is the one question?
I'm not coming out of the closet to you. No. If this was going to happen, if that was going to take place, it would be on a more noteworthy program. To be quite honest with you,
something
of that nature. Now, I don't know why you'd ask me that. It wasn't part of our pre-show interview.
What is the one question you're always afraid someone is going to ask?
Why would I be afraid somebody was going to ask a question? Because, like, actually, if somebody asks a question that I don't want to answer, I can probably figure out a way to answer a different question, and they might not even notice. And if they do, then there's not really much they can do about it if I don't want to answer that original question.
Okay.
So I don't know that I would fear, you know, Possibly one that for which I have no witty answer. Those have already been asked. We've found that out in live events across the nation. But I tell the group of folks that come to these live experiences, and we stand out LSD at the door, right?
Yay!
When they come to the live experiences, if the show is bad, I don't prepare. I don't come up with anything ahead of time because it depends on the questions you ask as to the answers that I give, obviously. I may tell a few ribald stories that, you know, are somewhat similar, but mostly I tell the folks that if the show was not any good, they didn't ask the right questions. And so it's really their fault. I'm completely blameless in this.
Okay.
So I found it works quite well, at least with me.
Now, as you talk about on your website, one of the things that jumps out to a lot of people is your weight loss. What has been...
I'm glad you got a boy out of here right now. It would jump out at you as my weight gain. No, I'm kidding. I didn't work as hard over my birthday and you know anniversary time as I wanted, but I'm within about 10 pounds where I'm supposed to be.
What has been the hardest thing that you've had to cut back on when you started eating and cooking more healthy?
A little bit of everything. See, that's the thing. If you cut back dramatically on one thing, you will self-destruct. You need to take little shortcuts wherever you can. So I basically cut back on anything possible, to even the point of upgrading to cheddar cheese, which is a more natural slice of cheese than American cheese.
Right.
Even though American cheese melts better on that cheeseburger, that now you can't fry it in a pan, you've got to broil it on a broiler pan. And it can't be that good 73% lean, 27% fat, greasy, smash burger type of meat. It has to be that, you know, Costco buy in bulk and it's kind of steak burger, 87-13 with
right.
the less fat.
Right.
And then you can't have a bun because that's so many carbs. You got to have the low carb, high fiber bread toasted slightly with a little butter spray and then some spread instead of mayonnaise, which is too much fat. You shortcut wherever you can, and sooner or later, you just lose the will to eat.
Actually, I'll toss you a little pointer. We've got a couple of stores here in my home market of Birmingham, Alabama, that are more organically inclined, and in their butcher shop, they offer a grass-fed, free-range Australian beef, and I will tell you this, whether it is the roast, whether it's the ribeye or the strip, it is good, and it grills out perfectly if you know what you're doing on a grill. So I would definitely...
So it's grass-fed, organic, Australian...
Free range.
What do they get? Do they give the fucking cow like a hand job or whatever right before they kill it over this? Or what?
Don't know. I haven't found that one out yet.
Is that why is it so happy right before it comes and goes at the same time? Is that what you're telling me about this meat?
Why did I just have a George Carlin moment? Thank you.
Well, let's go back to Carrollton.
Let's do that.
What do you think, Shane, about Carrollton?
Shane, come on in.
I was gonna say, having dropped 47 pounds in the last 4 months, you just described my own personal hell with hamburgers. You have to, you know, alter
well,
your
you should,
eating
habits. I tell you, I was around one time about 20, 25 years ago when Kenny Boland lost 118 pounds of ugly fat. He divorced his first wife. And since then, I'll tell you, but he, of course he found that weight again. But no, if you've lost some weight, you know it's hard to get it off. But if you revamp your lifestyle and you can cheat some, you know, especially that's why I try to stay away from confrontation. Stress leads me to cheat on my diet, so therefore I stay away from people. People lead to conflict. That's a very good rule of thumb. So I tend to play with my dog a lot, and it keeps me from overeating.
Unless you're close to a Korean restaurant. Shane Knowles, come on in.
Hey, gee, poomch. Thank you. Two shows on Friday.
As far as Carrollton goes, Jim, I'm curious. I know you worked with the NWA. Of course, that's no secret, in and around Atlanta. Will this be your first trip to Carrollton, Georgia, which was a mainstay? It was a good stop for the NWA and Georgia Championship Wrestling.
You know, I want to say that while I was not in Carrollton for The time that I was in Atlanta in 1985, the Midnight Express and I came from Dallas. When we started working for Jim Crockett Promotions, that's when Crockett was based in Charlotte, but he had just bought the Atlanta TBS time slot and had a crew that had been working the local Georgia territory for Ole after he had started that company back up. And you know, Buzz and Brett Sawyer were there, and Pez Wadley and those guys were there, and the Italian Stallion, et cetera. There was some guys there. And what Crockett's idea was to move some of the wrestlers to Atlanta and then, of course, keep his crew in Charlotte, and they were going to run two circuits. And for whatever reason, likely a combination of a number of reasons, that did not happen. There wasn't enough talent. They wanted to integrate the rosters instead of keeping a lot of dead weight. When I say there wasn't enough talent, I mean there wasn't enough top talent. There was plenty of wrestlers they could have on the card. So anyway, I moved there in 85, and I've lived in Atlanta for about 8 weeks, never came to Carrollton during that time. And I also, in the summer of 83, for 8 weeks, I lived in Atlanta. See how this went. I kept coming to Atlanta and killing the wrestling business. I lived in Atlanta in the summer of 83 because that's when Ole had arranged with Jerry Jarrett for some of the guys from the Tennessee territory to come down and run the local towns like Macon and Columbus and Marietta and up in Knoxville and Chattanooga. And I may have been to Carrollton then. I don't remember, but that would have been 1983. And I definitely know where Carrollton is because I've driven past there and through there on many different occasions. So I'll be able to get there if that's the answer to your question. I'm looking forward. If I'm coming back, I'm looking forward to coming back. And if I've never been there before, wow, it's going to be great to be in Carrollton.
You know, and that leads me to this one. Over the course of your career and all of the places that you've been, whether it was starting out or moving from different territory, company to company, coming into 2015 or in the last couple of years, is there still a city or an area or a venue that you still look at as homecoming?
Not anymore because they've closed them all.
Oh, okay.
They're trying to tell me something. Homecoming would be the Louisville Gardens, obviously in Louisville, Kentucky, and the city owns that building and it's in disrepair. And my newest book, Tuesday Night at the Gardens, Pro Wrestling in Louisville, along with my co-author Mark James, which is on sale November 12th at jimcornette.com and you know, fine websites everywhere, mainly that one. It mentions it's in disrepair. The county owns it. They haven't had an event there in years. That building is pretty much closed to the public, but it's an historic site, so they can't tear it down. The Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee, where I, you know, really started my career. That was the big arena that in the Tennessee territory that you wanted to work was the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis. Right. That was our Madison Square Garden.
Right.
That building is closed. They want to tear it down. Another homecoming type of building for me would be like the Charlotte Coliseum, which right. is now the Bojangles Arena. The Bojangles Arena in Charlotte, North Carolina, but it's the old Charlotte Coliseum, the place where, you know, the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express sold the place out, and then, you know, it had so many of those classic matches. But it's been renovated, and it doesn't have the same flavor, you know. So I guess most of they're closing up all my old places. They're trying to tell me something. Move on. Nothing more to see here. I'm glad to be able to actually outlast the arenas. They said it couldn't happen, but my career is outlasting the lengths of major arenas' lifespans.
Now, speaking of careers, if I could, I know that you're under time constraints, and I know that the real answer to this would take a book, which I know you have a couple available through jimcornette.com.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you can have a variety of fine merchandise, and Christmas is coming up, but go ahead with your question.
How do you honestly describe the evolution of Jim Cornette from first getting involved in pro wrestling not necessarily the point where you were a fan, but the point where you first started really getting involved in it to, per se, right now?
Well, the evolution is, actually, there was, the biggest evolution was a couple of years ago. I spent about 35 years in the wrestling business, and then a couple of years ago, I just got the Jim Cornette business. It's easier, really. It's much less stressful, because all I have to worry about is me. And I don't have to worry that I'm not going to show up for myself, or that I'm going to hold myself up for more money, or that I'm not going to execute being myself to the fullest extent that I possibly could. I don't have to herd cats, find wild Indian wrestlers and pair them together in interesting matchups for the public, or produce television programs involving these same wild, untamed wrestling folks. I just got to worry about me and doing what I enjoy doing, whether it be Wrestling Legend Fan Fest, where I get to hang out with my old cohorts and talk to the fans, or whether it be comic conventions, where I'm such a geek and a nerd myself and an old-time comic collector. I've been doing some business in comic books over the past few years, as well as some of these festivals and conventions. Or whether it's a wrestling event like at Peach State in Carrollton, where probably about 10 times a year now, maybe, I guess, I will be at an event where there are actual wrestling matches taking place. And generally, it's to either be the general manager, as I will be coming up at WrestleCade over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Thanksgiving weekend with Tim Woody and Tracy Myers and Auto Max and the 15 million sponsors they got over there. We had like 2,000 people last Thanksgiving weekend out there. But I'll be the general manager there. Or it, once again, with Mr. Getz having been an issue in Tyson Dean's life, I'm cranky enough and grumpy enough and still carry a tennis racket that may or may not be loaded. We've never really solved the final mystery on that. Like Al Capone's vault that time at Geraldo went into. I really don't believe we got the whole mystery there. But anyway, whether it's something like that, I'm Jim Cornette, and folks enjoy, they enjoy also hanging out with me, and the Q&As are very lively, and my podcast elicits strong feelings one way or the other, much like having some of these German videos where they have their balls nailed to a step stool. They elicit strong feelings, and some people enjoy that type of thing. That's sort of like what you get when you come out to see Jim Cornette, folks. So it's really fun for the whole family, as long as it's the Adams family and you're all over 18.
Shane Knowles, come on board.
Jim, I'm curious. The current Peach State Wrestling Alliance champion is a former Ring of Honor and TNA talent, Jimmy Rave, who's experienced quite the career resurgence over the last 16 months, not only with Peach State, but across the board in independent wrestling. Just curious your thoughts, if your path ever crossed with Jimmy during your time at Ring of Honor and TNA.
In TNA, definitely, it was a longer period of time. I think that at Ring of Honor, yes, in a few cases. But in TNA, he was there for a good little stretch while I was there. And, the thing about Jimmy, and I think it's been overlooked in a lot of cases, is he's always been, you always hear a lot about Jimmy from the people who see him live, from the folks in Georgia and the folks in the Southeast there who see him live. He always gets over with the people who see him live. And I think that's because he works his ass off and he's taking a lot of time with it. And he builds his fan base every time that he goes out there and performs, and people get off on it. So I'm looking forward to seeing his match, which I am not scheduled to be involved in any way, shape, or form. But then again, these things, what do they say, cards subject to change these days? Is that what the kids say? So you never know what might happen. But yes, I've been a fan of Jimmy's work.
Now, Shane, if I could, while I've got everything on the brain, let's go ahead and put this together for this coming Saturday night. Mr. Cornette's Q&A is going to go from what time to what time?
Scheduled from 5 o'clock Eastern until 7 o'clock Eastern. The door's opening at 7:30 if you're just there for the wrestling matches, with the bell time scheduled at 8 o'clock.
Okay. Now, for the Q&A itself, how much are the tickets going to be?
Tickets are separately $10 a piece for the Jim Cornette experience as well as the wrestling matches. However, if you wanted the combo deal, you could get in for $16 to both. And considering that our kid's ticket price is $6. That gets you into the wrestling for a kid's price, even as an adult, if you chose to take on the entire package.
Now, well, there you go. And then also, you know, I mentioned 18 and under. I'll use fewer F words so you can bring little Johnny. And that way he'll only hear a couple of them, which is probably what he hears at home, usually on a Saturday, probably in the evening, especially after Daddy's had a couple of beers. You never know. But, no, I just want to say I enjoyed the hangout. Basically, that's what it is. The VIP Q&A sounds so stuffy. But what we do in these situations is you guys get to hang out with me for a while. We're going to start about 5 o'clock. And the fans get to ask the questions, which I will answer, and we'll have hopefully a lively discussion. And then if anybody wants a cell phone picture or if anybody wants me to autograph something, boom, we'll do that, and I'll take time with each of those folks individually so that they get first crack at me, so to speak. The pictures, the autographs will be free. I will have merchandise that I would love if you fell in love with and purchased it and took it home. I will have my books there, nevertheless, that we were discussing. But otherwise than that, boom. And then that's when the regular we shouldn't say the regular folks. The other fine folks that have just chosen to come to the matches can then get in there, boom. And once again, I'll be glad to shake your hands quickly as I'm ushered back for the evening. Now, I think that would probably that's the way we'll phrase all that.
Do you know?
And I can
go ahead.
I was going to say I can vouch for his vendor table, folks. Being at the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Fan Fest that Greg Price puts on, there is some true one of a kind collectibles you're not going to find anywhere else except the coins table.
Well, yes, and we do try to we put people in fine late model merchandise and memorabilia for their viewing pleasure.
I've never heard it said like that before. Thank you. That's a new one.
Well, as a matter of fact, the new books are in Tuesday night at the Gardens. The books are in, even though they do not go on sale on my website until November 12th. So technically, in Carrollton will be the first place that the brand new 1.5 years, 18 months, that what works out to be, in the waiting, books are going to be available. They're going to be on sale in Carrollton first. There you have it.
Now, I do want to throw one little curveball at you.
Oh, geez, here we go. Now he's going to change the deal on the air with me.
No. Knowing what different people say at different times in different venues, and I'm sure you've heard so much of it. What is the one piece of information that people put out there about you that you wish they would finally get right?
Oh, that they would finally get right. That it was not my fault at the window at Dairy Queen. That if you go back and listen, if you read, see, there's clues out there. It's like that movie with, who was it? Was it Tom Hanks? I can't remember. He was searching, or National Treasure. It was Nicolas Cage. He was searching for his Action Comics number one. Whatever the case, comic book nerds got that one. Anyway, it was Chris Jericho's fault. If you go back and you read Jericho's book, he all but admits it. He didn't have the video camera in the back. He was instigating things. My ring announcer, Ron Head, the guy from California, very good friend of my lovely wife Stacy's, moved out here to be an OVW ring announcer. At the time, had been ring announcing in Smoky Mountain Wrestling there. He had the video camera. Jericho was egging it on, and people to this day think that I was rude to that no good, pimply faced woman at that Dairy Queen window, and it was really Jericho. And if you listen very carefully, when you watch it on YouTube, you can hear him doing his, and he had just seen Spinal Tap. He was doing his Spinal Tap. What is this, the comedy bus, the picking comedy bus? You can hear him. He needs to go ahead and admit it. It was his fault. I challenge him on Twitter, whatever his Twitter is. People should go out and tell Chris Jericho on Twitter it was your fault. Wasn't Cornette. I was within my rights. That's what I wish people would get right.
This Saturday, November the 7th, you return to ringside in one of the main events for this Saturday night's Peach State Wrestling Alliance Super Show.
One of the main events. Now, see, now that just goes to show you that if what you say is indeed true, then that shows you the monumental aspect of this card, this lineup here, this Night of Champions, literally a parade of top talent up and down the card, that I could be involved in a match which would only be described as one of the main events.
One half of the main event.
That said, just once again, it the magnitude. Well, go ahead with just one of the main events.
You will be representing, managing, advising the reflection of perfection, Tyson Dean, as he takes on Sal Rinaro, who will be advised and escorted to ringside by Al Getz of Al Getz Enterprises. This has been a powder keg waiting to explode. And for everybody who was at the recent PWA live event, you saw that it was this close. And finally, Tyson gets his wish to go one-on-one in a fair and equitable circumstance with Sal Rinaro, a person who's been running him down up one side and down the other. Al Getz, who has been taking Tyson Dean, a very accomplished champion in a number of different promotions, including Peach State, and referring to him by nothing more than a preliminary wrestler. Coming into this coming Saturday night, not necessarily toward Sal Rinaro, but in a battle of wits with Al Getz, what can Mr. Getz expect as the return to ringside of the Louisville Slugger, Jim Cornette?
I'm not sure whether that was a question or whether it crossed over into statement and at one point filibuster. However, let me just say that. See, here's where I have a little advantage on Mr. Getz. First of all, that's why I say Getz doesn't get it, because first of all, imagine this. I don't really care whether Tyson Dean wins, loses, or turns blue in this match. See, that is not my problem. What it is, the person that I have made this arrangement with, that's their situation. They say that Tyson Dean needs somebody to keep things even and get this Getz out of the picture so that he can get what he wants fair and square. That's all I have to know. I'm kind of like one of the, in a Tarantino movie, I'm like one of the hitmen. I have no personal relationship with anybody in this match. I don't care about Mr. Rinaro. I don't care whether he turns blue or drops dead. I don't care whether him and Tyson Dean, either one, catch on fire. My job is simply to neutralize by, and I don't want to sound, you know, really nasty or militant here, by whatever means necessary, my job is to neutralize Mr. Getz, so that whatever he does is completely and utterly ineffectual in the outcome of this contest, of which I don't give a flying shit, right?
Okay.
So that means that I can't be bought off, because I'm already coming in and getting paid for this. I'm getting paid for somebody to be fair and square and legal and down the middle and neutralize Getz and stay out of the way. And that's what's going to happen. Getz is going to be neutralized and almost out of the way. And if Rinaro wins, fine, that's not my job. And if Tyson wins, fine, that's not my job. But Getz, I promise you, if he tries to interfere with me doing my job so I get paid, because I'm probably getting paid more than anybody in this equation to get this done here, so I want to make sure I get it done. If Getz tries to interfere with me getting paid, he is going to have the longest night of his life. He is going to hope and wish that he could get a new job as a guy walking through hell with gasoline fucking britches on, rather than the job that he has, which will be being on the wrong side of me. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, by the way, you're going to laugh when I say this, because I'm going to go ahead and say this on air as well as off. I immediately thought of you watching Avengers Age of Ultron. Because, no. When Thor was making a reference to, when he was speaking with the Vision inside the cathedral, and he was making a reference to the hammer being well-balanced, and if it wasn't, it would affect the swing, I immediately thought of Jim Cornette and the tennis racket when it came to that.
Well, there you have it, because like Thor's hammer, Jim Cornette's tennis racket will be coming with Jim Cornette. I never leave home without it. So, if you know, J.J. Dillon said this a long time ago about me in a little feud we had in Philadelphia. He said, Cornette, you're the first tennis player I've ever seen with no balls.
Dope!
And that really stung. He really got me. He's one of the few people ever verbally that got me. So I made sure that from then on, I not only had a tennis racket, but I had a couple of balls with me just so that could never be said again. And I'm going to have a tennis racket with me in Carrollton, and I'm also going to have a couple of balls. It's just that the balls I'm going to have currently are attached to Mr. Getz.
I have to ask this question before we start heading in that direction one more time. I have to ask the question. We've all on this network and on this station offered up who we'd considered to have on our Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling managers. From you yourself, who perpetually makes that list and makes the mountain, who would you have on your personal Mount Rushmore of managers over the years?
Well, if I have to stay out of it, and I'd prefer to, because that way people won't be quoting me across America, Grant put himself on his list and tell us how great he is. Bobby Heenan is the best of all time, and that of which there is no doubt. As a matter of fact, J.J. Dillon and I agreed amongst ourselves last year, I believe it was, might even been the year before, that a lot of people say, oh, J.J., you're the greatest manager, Cornette, you're the greatest manager, that neither one of us would accept the award, that we would insist, both of us, that Bobby Heenan is number one. Either one of us will be happy to be number two. We can argue about that later. But so, I mean, you've got Bobby Heenan. You've got James J. Dillon. You've got Gary Hart. You've got my old friend Jimmy Hart. I've much more liked his work in Memphis, where he was the greatest territory manager of all time, I think, and instead of the WWF stuff, because I never liked WWF stuff. I always liked Bobby Heenan before he went to the WWF, when he was working for Bruiser or Vern. I always liked everybody before they went to the WWF. Anyway, I'm not answering the question now, am I? You got so many great managers, and I've mentioned just a few, that it's hard for me to say. And then how far back do you go to previous generations? Because, my God, what about Dr. Ken Ramey of the Interns? What about Gentleman Bobby Davis, who Bobby Heenan was named after, who walked to the ring with the Graham brothers and Nature Boy Buddy Rogers and folks of that ilk, for God's sake, or Wild Red Berry, the first manager to do a great promo, maybe. Yeah, where do you draw the line? We can't do this. What we have to have, instead of a Mount Rushmore with only four, we have to have wallpaper. We just kind of line the wall, you know, at the top with all the great managers.
Never really thought of it that way. Okay.
Well, that's actually because that's what my wife is doing in the room right now. She's looking around to see how she's going to change my wallpaper while my dog plays with her ball. By the way, you can follow my dog, Harley Quinn Cornette, at Quinaroonie. That's Quinaroonie, at Quinaroonie on Twitter. I'm working on her having more followers than Vince Russo.
I was waiting on something like that.
So was I. Shane, come on in.
but you get more of that on Saturday. I shouldn't do too much, or elsewise they might not come to the experience live. Expect more people to be verbally abused.
Well, since I won't be out for the experience to ask a question, I'll do it here on this platform. Jim, with Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I just have to ask from promoter to promoter in that realm, was there any point in time, a particular match, a particular night, or an event where you looked around and you said, damn, we might be on the cusp of something good here, where a night just flowed so good that you knew you had something in it?
Oh, in Smoky Mountain Wrestling? Oh, God, yes, about once a month, or else why we would have done it so fucking long. really, when you go back and you look at the events, yes, there were a lot of dreary school gym spot shows in West Virginia and or, East Tennessee or Eastern Kentucky, but there was also a huge near sellout in Knoxville in August, and a huge turnout also in Johnson City, our biggest of the year, in August. And April, we always did the Bluegrass Brawl in Pikeville, which was our annual show where we'd bring in a really great lineup and do sell out of a couple of thousand people. And there was the Christmas shows where Christmas weekend and Thanksgiving weekend, you know, we'd do in excess of a couple or 3,000 people in Knoxville. And the other, you know, events. So there were always, you know, great shows to go along with the, you know, that was the great thing about a territory, and also the insidious thing about a territory. it would keep you hooked, because there was always the corner was always there to be turned the very next week.
I want to ask one other real quick, and I know this is going to be a nerd techie word question, so I'll preface it like that. Can you describe what you feel to be the difference between professional wrestling and independent wrestling?
Oh, gosh. You know, actually, what it might be more apropos to say, the difference between professional wrestling and performance wrestling. Because there are plenty of people on independent wrestling promotions that try and or succeed to do professional wrestling. But a lot of times there's a lot of people also that are just doing performance wrestling. To me, it's gotten to that point that you almost have to look at them as sports entertainment. Is more often performance wrestling, but you can kind of get a little really high-level pro wrestling in there, too, because the top guys are still pro wrestlers. They just call them different. But I think basically it comes down to the line when you've lost complete grasp or control or thought or intent of presenting a simulated conflict or contest, and you've gone full head-on into just giving an exhibition of athletic choreography, you've gone from professional wrestling to performance wrestling. And where that line lay is a lot of times in the eye of the beholder, then, of them.
Okay.
Who is beholding it.
Okay.
So there you have it. But, yeah, when you quit trying to act like you're really having a contest and people are supposed to believe this shit, and you go into, I'm just going to entertain people with a series of, you know, a choreographed and or simulated fighting moves like Jackie fucking Chan. I like Jackie Chan's movies, but I never really paid to see him fight anybody on pay-per-view. So, see, it's a whole different genre for me.
I got you.
And that's what, so, and the Young Bucks fans, maybe both of them in North Georgia, actually I think they got two north of Macon. If they want to come and debate me at the Q&A, that's fine also, and I'll be glad to discuss that with them as well.
Yeah,
because that's the classic example of the other side. There's, you know, the kids that go, well, they're putting smiles on people's faces. It's all about entertaining people. Oh, for Jesus Christ, give me a break. That's the constant debate that we have with the Justin Bieber fans of professional wrestling.
I love that line. Thank you so much. Permission to steal it.
Well, you can't. Please spread it around and spread around that I'll be there this Saturday, the 7th. Doors open for the experience at 4:30, so that actually it starts at 5 o'clock, and we're just going to go from there. And I'm going to go from here, since I've done what I set out to do, which was raise awareness of the insidiousness of Justin Bieber fans in wrestling liking the Young Bucks and their video game wrestling matches. More Saturday at the live experience.
Real quick, we'll ask you to do the shameless thing as I always do. Let everybody know how they can track you down on social as well as the website.
Well, all you got to do is go to jimcornette.com, and that tells you where you can buy my brand new book, which is jimcornette.com. That's where you can read my columns, which is jimcornette.com. That's where you get all my other merchandise, which is jimcornette.com, and my podcast, my weekly podcast, The Jim Cornette Experience, on mlwradio.com, or you can go to jimcornette.com. And pretty much otherwise than that, you can come ask me in Carrollton in person.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the legendary Jim Cornette. Right here, back to basics. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.